The views and opinions expressed by the following program are those of the host, guest, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station or the Webster Rock Hill Ministries, its management, or other host or underwriting sponsors. Programs presented on KWRHLP are for educational and entertainment purposes only. Views which are presented are for educational purposes only and are not intended to treat, diagnose, or claim any cure of disease or condition.
This is Amanda LaPlante. You're listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRHLP 92.9 FM. I'm here today with Dr. Austin Jones of Jones Neurology and Chiropractic. Welcome.
Welcome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you for being here. So tell everybody a little bit about yourself, and you're a functional neurologist. So actually, let's start with that. What is a functional neurologist?
Well, a functional neurologist can be a doctor of any background who has gone through some postdoctoral training in neurology, clinical neuroscience. Typically, a functional neurologist is from a chiropractic background because it's more of a holistic look at the nervous system. You kind of compare what's going on, where can I interject some therapies and create a difference. It's hundreds of hours of postdoctoral training as well as board examinations.
Wow. So, and how did you decide that you wanted to go into this?
Well, a little bit of my background is in personal training. I went through there after college and just got into a style of personal training where you use neurology to help people squats or exercises or therapy or whatever. And I would do something to fix an eye movement and they would get like a 30% increase in how much they could bench or squat. You're like, okay, that doesn't make sense. But when you think about it, how the brain controls the body, brain controls the muscles are on the low end of the totem pole. The brain's in charge. Everything's kind of top down. And I started to think, I kind of want to do this for a living. Just work on the brain and do some therapies, because I had clients that came in with various issues, and we would just, by doing things for exercise based in neurology, we would actually start to improve those conditions, like actual medical conditions. And it's like, okay, this is getting different, this is getting unique, and this is probably getting out of scope. I need to go back to school and see how I can help people on a regular basis.
Wow. Okay. So I have to ask, so what's an example of something like that that you saw in your PT practice or your personal training practice?
I had some people with, something I'm really passionate about, concussions. So I had some clients that were concussion-based. They had trouble getting back to exercise. And I was just like, all right, well, what's going on with the eyes? What's going on with your vestibular system, which is your inner ear, your balance system, as well as, like, your body sensory system? Like, what's going on with all these different systems? So we'd look at all of them and be like, okay, you don't know where you're at in space. So let's kind of recreate that 3D image of where you are, from your vestibular system, from your eyes, from your body. And in doing so, he'd have a really clear picture of where he was at. And over time, because again, I was in a personal training background, so it's like very basic stuff. Not like I can't use the modalities there that I can use now. So now it's a much faster process, but back then it took, some time, but he eventually got to where he didn't have the concussion-like symptoms.
Gotcha.
So that's one of my passions, because I've suffered quite a few concussions. And growing up and going to school, I had challenges with learning and things like that. Nothing too challenging or anything like to write about, but definitely some challenges that are now not a challenge. So I want to kind of give that back to the St. Louis community, to kids, to athletes, kind of help them with concussions and improve their quality of life.
So cool. Yeah, and I had the pleasure of coming in for a visit, mm-hmm. an introductory visit with you, and doing a little bit of the therapy. And I have a history of menieres and some mm-hmm. other issues with inner ear and so on. And I have to say, I was really impressed with the techniques that you're using. It was just, I had never thought about how eye movements and these types of therapies could actually affect your neurology in that way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So before I go too tangent, because I will do that with you, I find this so fascinating.
Please do.
Yeah, let's pull it back in. And so let's talk about, what's kind of the therapeutic advantage does functional neurology offer?
Well, typically a functional neurologist has that whole view of the nervous system, looking at the brain, the cerebellum, the brainstem, your motor system, your sensory systems, your reflexive system, since it puts this big global picture of what's going on and takes this kind of this fine-tuned lens and say, there's an area, there's an issue here. And this, like, typically our goal, let's say, if we're looking at the brain, we want something about the size of a thumbprint as a target. Or if we're looking at the brainstem, it's, you know, much, much smaller, like, you know, a dime or a portion of a dime. And we're looking at targets that small and saying, that's what I want to hit. What systems connect to that, and how do I attack that area to either inhibit it, if it's too over, if it's overactive, or how do I bring it up to the appropriate activation level to where a normal stimulus will allow it to, you know, express itself.
Okay. So, all right. And so what kind of treatment do you prescribe as a functional neurologist?
It could vary. What's really great about functional neurology is, and what we do at the Jones Neurology is, functional neurology is like a lens to view the world. So it's not like it's a technique or anything specifically in and of itself. You look at the best vestibular therapies in the world, we utilize those. You look at the best eye movement therapies in the world, we utilize those. So it's not necessarily that we're unique, it's that we're unique in how we bring things together. So everything we do exists in research, and then we just say, how can I bring this to my practice? And does this patient need it? So a lot of times you go to seminars, you learn something cool, you're like, oh man, I want to do that. And it's like, 6 months later, I still don't have a patient that needs this yet. Come on.
Yeah, and it's so specific and so targeted and so mm-hmm. bio-individual per patient, as is all functional medicine.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's amazing. So, all right, so what kind of unique skills does a functional neurologist bring to the adjustment?
Well, when it comes to like chiropractic, in the name,
yeah.
And that's my background. So adjustments really do affect the brain quite profoundly. So you really want to make sure you kind of are using a brain-based model when you're adjusting people, as well as when not to adjust people. That's one of the most important things, too.
Yeah,
there's metabolic capacities that might not be able to handle an adjustment. So it's by being a functional neurologist, having this big view of the nervous system, this lens to view the world, it's like, okay, this person can handle adjustments, but where? What do I want to activate? What's the target? Because everything, again, is going to be that top-down mechanism. So how do I want to activate that or inhibit that? So it becomes more specific to what the patient needs. Yeah, there's really cool research coming out with functional MRIs and adjustments. Like Heidi Havoc had some research come out of New Zealand, I want to say this year, on functional MRI and post-adjustment. And the brain's just cortically different. Like it's different activation patterns, different QEEGs and things like that post-adjustment. So again, it could be good, it could be bad, depending on what you're doing.
Wow. Okay, so then I had a question on the list that just, why should every chiropractic patient have a functional neurology exam? I think you kind of just went over it, but we got a little bit deep there. So
yeah, I apologize.
No, it's great. And I think it's awesome. And I know that we have some listeners that are listening that are totally tracking with what you said. Can we break it down a little bit more for just the average listener?
Sure. So essentially, the way the brain works is it's plastic. It's malleable. It can change. It can be remodeled. So say an area of your brain is underactive. Actually, let's go with overactive because this will be a little bit simpler to follow.
Mm-hmm.
With overactivation, you could get maybe that ADD, ADHD. The brain's firing too much into the attention centers and you're just all over the place. You notice everything and you can't quite focus.
And you guys can't see me right now, but I'm totally pointing to myself because I have been there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is one thing I struggle with.
So let's say it's a certain area of the brain for that. We may want to inhibit that area so we can do eye exercises for that while doing adjustments for the opposite brain to bring that up to more of a healthy level, or just kind of like the way they collateralize and talk to each other. By bringing one side down a little bit, then you bring the other side up, they can start to communicate better and then have better downstream production on like those attention centers and keeping people more aware of their environment without being that ADD, ADHD
okay.
scenario.
Gotcha. All right. So then in terms of just the average chiropractic patient, though, so just basically, like you said, certain adjustments can overstimulate or, you know, might not be advantageous. And I
yeah.
think depending on the style of chiropractor, right, that mm-hmm. we're going to, because I've noticed in working with many different types of chiropractors now over the last few years, everybody has a different style and a different philosophy.
Yes.
There are a lot of ways you can take that.
Yeah.
And so having you to step in and also look at, okay, how is the neurology and the brain function
mm-hmm.
and what is this adjustment doing for this person on that level can really help to pinpoint and make a more accurate treatment.
Yes. And I like what you brought up about other chiropractors and their systems.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with those systems.
Sure.
They all work really well. Neurology, taking that bigger lens or bigger view of the world and the person, could actually explain why some of those things work really well when they do.
Okay.
And why they don't when they don't, and how you can maybe more accurately apply that technique.
Okay. All right. That makes a lot of sense. So, all right. So is functional neurology, how can it replace traditional medical care, or can it?
It definitely does not, and it should not. Typically, if you have a medical condition like a neurodegenerative disorder or something like that, you should be in the care of a medical doctor. A functional neurologist is more of someone to work alongside that, because a traditional medical neurologist will have the proper prescriptions and things you need for your disease. Functional neurology, we might say, okay, we're looking at this one specific area. When you take a drug, you're going to hit everything because it goes in the bloodstream, it goes everywhere. So how can I maybe help this one little area? Like, say there's an area of the brain that you want to use to activate dopamine if you have like a Parkinsonian type disorder. You can do certain eye movements to drive dopamine production, which will be very beneficial. Whereas if you're taking medicine for a long period of time, your brain's like, okay, I'm getting this medicine or this dopamine externally. I don't need to make it anymore. So it starts to downregulate. So what we can do with activating those areas is minimize the symptomatology, minimize the symptoms, and kind of prolong the progression of the disease. So you can be healthier at a higher level for a longer period of time.
Okay, so just as we would exercise muscles in our body, mm-hmm. right, so that we don't degenerate quicker as we age, right? We stay stronger as we age, and we continue to create force output the way that we need to mm-hmm. In order to function and carry on physically. Same thing for the brain, essentially. We're doing these exercises to strengthen and drive production in the brain.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Very cool. Okay. Well, you know what? We've got a whole lot more that we want to get to here, but we're getting close to time for a break.
Sure.
So we're going to go ahead and jump to break, but I'll be right back with Dr. Austin Jones of Jones Neurology and Chiropractic. This is Amanda LaPlante. You're listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRHLP 92.9 FM. See you after the break. This is Amanda LaPlante of Get Real to Heal. You are listening to KWRHLP 92.9 FM, your community radio station in Webster Groves, Missouri. This is Amanda LaPlante. Listen to my show, Get Real to Heal, every Monday morning at 9:30 and every Friday morning at 9:30 here on KWRHLP 92.9 FM. You're listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRHLP 92.9 FM, and we are back with Dr. Austin Jones of Jones Neurology and Chiropractic. Welcome back.
Thank you. Pleasure to be back.
Yeah. So, all right. We are talking about, I'm just so fascinated by what you do. Yeah, Dr. Jones is a functional neurologist, and if you missed it before the break, we talked a little bit about what he does in his practice and this unique approach to helping people to we'll just dive into the next question here. So I guess, does functional neurology cure? It doesn't cure neurological diseases, right? We
Correct.
Just help to prolong and kind of explain
mitigate.
A little bit more.
Yeah, we mitigate some of the symptomatology, so mm-hmm. some of your symptoms will improve. And as far as the dysfunction in the brain or in the nervous system, we can kind of assist in prolonging the deterioration of that. And uniquely, we are qualified from our training to recognize some of the symptoms early before they start to become like these obvious symptoms where you're like, I'm having these challenges, I need to see a doctor. It's 10, 20, in some cases, 30 years ahead of time. You're seeing things and saying, okay, now we have a real opportunity to prevent the progression or minimize the progression and elongate a high quality of life for a long period of time.
And when we talk about neurological diseases such as like Alzheimer's, right, mm-hmm. There are some minor signs and symptoms that start to appear. I mean, the disease really starts 30 years before.
Exactly.
Yeah, before there's really major symptomatology that comes along.
That is correct, yes.
Okay, so things that we can do to prevent and increase brain health. Okay. So how does functional neurology reduce the risk of these different diseases, though?
Well, as we mentioned earlier, the brain's plastic and kind of malleable. So if you have the appropriate target, you can increase or improve the quality of that plasticity. There's a term, neuroplasticity. That's a really popular term in the neuro world. And that's about, again, how the brain's plastic. And if you give the good input, that you can mold it in the appropriate direction you want to take it. And that's kind of important because that means the opposite can happen as well. So if you have poor lifestyle choices or challenges where you maybe should be eating an anti-inflammatory diet or something like that, you don't do it, you create that bad plasticity, that bad progression towards illness and disease. Whereas if you catch it early, you can start to eat a little better, have a better lifestyle. And have specific therapies. Like I have some patients where they have the disease already, but the medicine's helping enough, and then I'm giving them specific exercises to do, and then they go home and do them, and I don't need to see them for a while because they're holding pretty steady where they're at. And some come to me that are further along and they need a jump start. And we do an intensive, which is 3 to 4 visits a day for, 3 to 5 days in a row. So it's this big, intense push. But the brain being so plastic, you give it the right information at the right amount of intensity for a long enough period of time, you can make changes pretty fast.
Wow. Okay, so what does this mean for, can you give me some examples, I guess? I have in my family, I have an uncle-in-law who has Parkinson's, mm-hmm. and it's pretty far progressed.
Okay.
He's had it for quite a long time. What are some examples of people like that you've seen in your practice and ways that you're able to get them back?
Well, every case is different.
Sure.
So it depends, one, where they're at, and then that determines what the goals are. So one of the questions we ask always is, if there's a wish list, what's the one thing I could do for you? Like, what's one thing? In some patients, it's like, I want to be able to read. Or they come in with a pretty nasty tremor, that pill rolling tremor, and you would think that'd be it, because that's kind of like something you can tell is bothering them. It's in their dominant hand, and they're like, no, I want to be able to, like, walk better, or something like that, where they want to be able to play with their grandkids.
That was his wish.
Yeah, so it depends on the patient. And you just take that and say, okay, let's look at the different systems involved with that. What's not working properly? If you took the nervous system, split it down the middle, it's basically a mirror of each other. So right versus left, right brain controls left body, and vice versa. So where in that systems, and all those different systems, motor, sensory, visual, vestibular, cerebellar, like where are their challenges? And how do they tie into that chief complaint or that goal? So with gait, maybe it's I want to do some muscle activation in a certain pattern that reflects that pattern of gait, which then will, the way it affects the spinal cord and the way it affects the brain will be kind of like, oh yeah, this is how I walk. Or we'll be given specific exercises, like with Parkinson's. In Norman Doidge's book, The Brain's Way of Healing, he talks about, there's a whole chapter on a Parkinson patient who just walks briskly on uneven surfaces. And he's essentially symptom-free if he does an hour a day. But if he gets ill or takes a break for like a couple days, symptomatology starts to come back. So it's unique to the patient and their goals. And then we just create the right strategies around that. Certain eye movements, depending on the vector, stimulates different areas of the brainstem, cerebellum, and brain itself. The type of eye movement, is it a fast like saccade, which is where you go from one target to another really quickly? Like imagine two planes in the sky far apart and you're looking at one, then the other jumping back and forth. Or is it one plane in the sky moving slowly that you follow, which is more of a pursuit mechanism? Different areas of the brain activated. With saccades, those fast eye movements, you go through the basal ganglia, which is where a lot of the Parkinsonian problems are, en route to the brainstem to generate the eye movements. So you could say, okay, this patient, if I do a big eye movement, like 20 degrees, they have to stop like 3 times along the way. They can't make the eye movement. But if I do a 5-degree eye movement, where they jump from one small target to one small target a few degrees away, they can make it accurately. So you improve the quality of that map in the brain and the basal ganglia, and the energy production isn't too much to drain them. And then what vector do I do that eye movement in to stimulate the areas of the brain, cerebellum, and brainstem I want?
Okay. That's just amazing. I mean, honestly, I've watched the disease progress in this person mm-hmm. that we love, and to think about the fact that they can do this type of therapy and get back to a better place or prolong that disease, really, that's powerful.
Oh, yeah. If you look at Carrick et al. In a eye movement therapy study on acute stroke. So acute strokes, right after they're stabilized, they start doing eye movement therapy. 3 minutes, 3 times a day of just saccadic eye movements plus pursuits in a certain vector. And all the biochemical and physiological responses was much greater than the control. in this study. And it just shows you that eye movement therapy is powerful if you're hitting the right target. It's also very exhausting.
Yeah, well, and I can identify. So I've been going through EMDR for trauma, and mm-hmm. I know we've talked about that before, and it's an eye movement type of therapy, a little different, obviously, than but, what but you great. Do. But yeah, I think, yeah, it's been very, very helpful for me, but I can definitely speak to it being exhausting. it's really interesting. All right, so let's dive into, I had the pleasure of coming in for a functional neurology exam. Mm-hmm. Let's tell everybody a little bit about what that looks like.
So the exam is not too atypical, except that it's very thorough. So you have your history. Then we go through your eye movements, your cranial nerve exam, your motor, your sensory, reflexes, cerebellum. We essentially hit every system really thoroughly so we can get a clear picture. Some facilities, you have the ability to quantify some of these. Like we have a posturography machine called CAPS, an FDA-approved machine that basically puts numbers to your posture. We do flat surface, eyes open, flat surface, eyes closed, foam pad, eyes open, foam pad, eyes closed, then different head positions on a foam pad with eyes closed. And it sounds like a lot, but what you're looking at is all three systems, your visual, your vestibular, which is your inner ear for balance, and your body sensory systems all have to work together to create where am I in space. And those different scenarios challenge one system more than the other, or two more than the other. And you kind of detect, okay, it's not exactly diagnostic, but I know that when I close my eyes on a foam pad, or when this patient does, and their vestibular system's kind of what they're relying on, they can't do it, or they fall over, or they're where they're at on the next Y graph changes dramatically, and it's an issue.
Right, and we can use me as an example. I'm more than happy to do that. Mm-hmm. So I've had inner ear issues and balance issues most of my life, and not anything terribly dramatic, but very apparent during the exam, and I wasn't terribly surprised by it. But some of the reflexes that I should have had, for instance, whenever I closed my eyes, and was it looking down or looking up? I forget, but
up was pretty scary for you.
Yeah, that's right. Because I didn't have that forward motion to adjust that I should have had mm-hmm. In order to keep my balance. And after doing some vestibular exercises, correct, mm-hmm. We saw an improvement in that. And
correct.
I physically saw an improvement in that in myself within a matter of, what was I there, 45 minutes? Minutes,
yeah, maybe. That was mostly the exam. The therapy was about 10 to 12 minutes.
I was going to say, yeah, I was really impressed. And I've also always had motion sickness issues in cars mm-hmm. and had a hard time tracking where things were in space as I went by in the car. Everything's just a blur. And you did some therapy. Talk about that.
Yeah, so the therapy for that was the OPK strip. So OPK is that optokinetic response. It's similar to your vestibular system. You share a similar pathway in the brainstem. Essentially, if you look out the car window when you're driving, your eyes kind of follow a tree and then snap back to right in front of you. You try to simulate that as best you can. And given your positioning errors and things like that, we did some specific vectors with the OPK strip to upregulate that system in that direction to give you a sense of where am I in space, which is important because that vestibular nuclei feeds your body to keep you upright against posture, against gravity. And so by getting that more in tune, more in line, you're able to, again, stand upright against gravity properly.
Right, yeah. And I was amazed at what a difference it made in so quickly. So, yeah, thank you for that. Cool.
They say change happens at the speed of the nervous system. So it's really fast. So if you find the right thing at the right time and place, you can make a big change pretty quickly. And that's why that intensive model is so fun, because you could come in 9 out of 10 challenges at the beginning of the week, and then by the end, you're much, much better.
Yeah. All right. So, okay. So let's talk about a few of your programs and kind of what your focus is. We're getting close on time, but I want to get into this a little bit.
And I'll try to be prompt and quick as I can.
Cool.
All right. So we have a couple different programs at Jones Neurology and Chiropractic. My big passion is concussions, because I've had so many and I've had challenges and like real heart challenges. Yeah. I kept internalized, and I finally started to look for solutions and found some through this care, and I just kind of want to give that back. And it's becoming more prominent in today's culture, concussions and brain injuries, and really the amount of force to create a brain injury, like even a mild one, is not that much force, so it happens quite easily. So we want to make sure we're doing baseline tests. So I offer free baseline tests for athletes, or just really anyone that's interested, and we kind of do that posturography, see where you're at. if there's no issues, you know, go ahead and play, have fun. Then if you get a concussion and then you're seen by a medical professional and cleared, then you can come in and we can check that posturography again to see what's changed, as well as some other things that we'll assess. We also have other programs for that we like to talk about. The Family Matters program is basically, for a small fee, we take care of the whole family. So parents, children, they come in together, we knock it out, and it's just a fun family time. It's just a way to, you know, I'm a parent, so I just want to kind of give back to parents and families and say, how can I help you and your family? And then lastly is our first responders program. So if you're ex-military, police, firefighter, EMT, anything like that, we have a special pricing for you, and we just want to, you know, say thank you for that.
I love that, and I love what you do, and I'm so glad that you came on to join me today. Thank you for being here.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and if you ever want to get together again for a specific topic, I'd love to be here.
I will totally take you up on that. Let's you give your contact information real quick for everyone.
All right, it's Jones Neurology and Chiropractic. We're located in the Sevens building over in Clayton. It's 777 Bonham Avenue, Suite 1822. The phone number is 314-722-8640. And awesome. The website is jonesneuro.com.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Dr. Austin Jones, Jones Neurology and Chiropractic, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And this has been Amanda LaPlante. You've been listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRHLP 92.9 FM. For more information about my health coaching services or to listen to past episodes, find us online at amandalaplante.com, Facebook at Get Real to Heal, or listen on soundcloud.com/Get Real to Heal. Feel free to reach out to me for a free 30-minute consultation at 314-583-6749, and have a great day.